studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
From Allergy Central, otherwise known as the Willamette Valley, otherwise known as Eugene, Oregon. It's another exciting episode of Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin, and I be the Robin part.
I be the Cliff part. We got some interesting stuff today on the news.
We do, which is pretty good considering.
You know, the most interesting thing is, as much as I am not at all thrilled, the top story in either on Yahoo or Google or CNN,
yes.
The NBA.
The NBA?
NBA, National Basketball Association. You see, somebody made a racist comment.
Bothers at all.
And now Donald Sterling is the one who made the racist comment, I believe. He owns one of the teams. And now people have been... Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm waiting on you.
Oh, that's me that's got a... There we go. I was wondering what came up and started talking to me. Anyway, the people have determined that they're not going to go to any of the NBA teams or any of the NBA games where this team is... Oh, shut up, would you please? God.
What?
All I do is just... click on anything and it starts talking to me.
Yeah, I hate that. I usually never go back to those sites again because it's totally annoying.
Well, I can't not go back to those sites. They're the main sites. I mean, CNN is pretty much a mainstay as far as news is concerned. But anyway, Donald Sterling is the owner of one of the teams, and he's made a bad remark about a racial, I believe. Nobody will show me what the actual remark is.
Well, you know, before this presidency, we didn't talk that much about race, and I'm getting so flipping tired of everybody so being insensitive. Oh my God, you must have said something. You disagreed with me. You are such a racist, and you're ugly too.
Yeah. I agree with that. We are being a little bit more insensitive than we used to be, and we're going the wrong direction. I mean, you'd think we'd be going the other direction with a black president, but we're just going the wrong direction. And I don't know if it has anything to do with the fact that his being black. It's just, I don't know. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't have an opinion about anything. It counts. I mean. He doesn't.
Well, speaking of opinions, just on the off chance that somebody else may have an opinion on what you're talking about, how would they tell us?
They could call us, by golly. The telephone number is real easy to remember, 646 721 9887.
Okay.
Now that you've got that memorized.
Just make sure. What is it again?
646
721
9887.
Got it.
Okay, and you call that number, and you can talk to us and live, and we'll talk to you, and we'll answer any questions you have. They may not be right, but we'll answer them because we have an opinion about absolutely everything, right, wrong, or indifferent.
That's right.
So, be more than happy to give you our opinion, and then you can yell at us and tell us how stupid we are and how wrong we are.
Absolutely.
And that doesn't bother me to tell me all that. Because I'll come back with just the same thing. So why not? Anyway, basically what I was saying is this thing about race. It's all of a sudden back in the thing and the news and people who won't go to ball games. It's, I don't know. This guy, Sterling, that has made this racial comment on it, and the thing that gets to me is nobody will make the comment. Nobody will tell me what it is. I mean, they'll tell me it's disturbing and offensive, but they won't see what it is. So I don't have a chance to make that opinion for myself, but I'll accept their fact that it's bad, but I don't know. It's very, very disturbing to me that the whole thing that's mostly disturbing to me is this is putting sports on top of the news. It's putting sports as the number one story in the news, and I don't want sports to be the number one story in the news. Although I guess it's not really sports that's the number one story. It's the
that depends on where you're at. If you're here in Eugene, Oregon, and everything has to begin with the ducks.
Really, I tell you, Anyway, I'm just my little thing about I don't mind sports and I don't mind it in its place, but it seems to be more in its place than anything else. I mean, there's more of it than anything, and I get tired of it because I'm not into sports.
Well,
this guy Donald Sterling is being criticized because he made a comment, and other sports people now are saying they'll not go to any of the games that play where his team is playing, and that, you know, and if that gets around, that could be bad. So he may end up having to sell it. They've made the comment they'll not do it as long as he owns that team. But so if he sells the team to somebody else, then they can go to the games. But, you know, the thing is he'll sell it to somebody by proxy or something so that he still owns it. I don't know.
Of all things that we have to be, offended about, you know, in fact, the being racist comment has taken down so many people in government office, you know. You know, a leader could go blow up a country and nothing will happen unless he says a racist comment or what may be construed as a racist comment, and therefore his career is over.
Yeah, really. Yeah, that's true. I mean, we aren't very tolerant of racism and the comments, and we shouldn't be. We should, you know, like you say, we should be past that by now. We should be over and done with that by now. However, if you think about it, it hasn't been that very long that we've been right in the middle of things. You know, this end of racism, this going on, it's less than 50 or 60 years old. I mean, that's as far as the way of the country is concerned. It's been very old.
Let's see what it does for this program. I'm going to make a few racist comments right now.
Okay.
You ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. Indy 500.
Now, that's a racist comment?
Well, yeah, you're talking about races.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry, I missed that. That I'm a little slow today, I guess, obviously. Okay. You make that racist comment, but nothing's going on with them.
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, it's really exciting. Oh, look! They're turning left! What would they do next?
They're always turning left. That's all they do is turn left.
There you go. Researchers, get this. Researchers are working on a futuristic, wacky system called SensiBubble that will project your Twitter notifications with a little scented bubbles. Oh, boy, the Earth is saved now.
Okay. if you say... Okay, so much for that.
Yes. I can die easily now, you know.
Okay. So, I'm not going to get into the little bubble things. I don't know what to say. I mean...
Hey, bubbles. Yes, and what it says here is that the human sense of smell is powerful, but there are few research systems that explore and examine the way we use it. and then go through, you know, so-and-so, University of Bristol Interaction and Graphics Group. Yes, yes, some smells can be very graphic. Release announcing Sense of Bubble, a system that allows colors, text, and icons to be projected on bubbles filled with a scented fog, according to CNET. We have taken the first steps to explore how smell can be used to enhance and last longer in the visual object, such as a soap bubble. Anybody who's been to grade school can already relate to how a sense can last, can be long and lingering and actually clear a room. But as usual, somebody probably got a grant to study this.
Okay.
Yes.
So somebody call. Somebody help me. Let's get up get into something different. The sense of smell.
Yeah.
If we want to do get into the sense of smell, if we want the better sense of smell, we'd better hire a dog and let him do it, because his sense of smell is almost 1,000 times more than ours is. And, you know, we do our sensing of things with our eyes. We look at things and see what's going on. A dog doesn't. The dog can walk around and he can close his eyes. He doesn't need his eyes. All he does is use his sense of smell. And he can probably notice things faster and better than we can with our eyes.
Is it a machine? I mean, they're showing a picture of the machine here getting ready to poof a little bubble out. It looks like a machine blowing its nose.
What have you gotten into on the machine that smells?
Yeah, I kind of wish I wouldn't have gone here.
A machine, probably I should say, that has a sense of smell, not a machine that smells, because a lot of machines smell.
That's true.
But, there's no way you can do that. You can't do that with a machine. You can't build a machine that you think is going to do better than the simple fact is you can't you have no experience. You have no way of telling whether it's better or not. I mean, a dog, you can understand what they're doing with the sense of smell, because they can show you things and lead you to things and do things, and you can see it happening. But a machine, you don't know whether it's working right or not, because you don't have any sense of where to base it.
Yeah, you can't look at a machine. I must admit, I've never once seen a machine give the look of "ew." I think cats do it. Yeah, cats do it. In fact, a cat will go back and, you know, give you that look and sniff, "ew," and then go back and sniff it again and give you the same look.
Yeah, yeah. Cats are pretty smart too. I don't know.
Well, considering they both lick their butts, you tell me.
I don't want to get into the matter of discussion here on who's smarter, cats or dogs, but I think it's dogs. So, quite a bit. So, anyway, so much for that.
Yes. I'll read an article and get an ad. I love it. I have a bitch and moan, by the way.
Okay,
I'm going to complain. Like I said in the onset, you know, we're getting into allergy season and flu season's here, and I remember way back, especially before the big deal about methamphetamines and where you could actually buy medications over the counter that actually helped you, but our governor before this one, Ted Taxson-Gallsby, decided that there's too many illegal drugs being made from it, so a lot of the good medications that were over the counter became prescription, and some disappeared altogether. Well, one that helps me get going is Theraflu. Well, Theraflu closed their factories down about a year or 2 years ago because of some mix-up in the chemicals or whatever, and they had no restart date. Well, anyways, that was all right. You could find knockoff brands like Safeway or whatever, except when you need it. And so trying to find something that replaces it, you know, when I would start getting sick, I'd pump up on vitamin C and Theraflu, I take a nap, and I'd be fine. I've not found anything to replace that, and I've already lost a day's wages because of it. Thank you, druggies, for making our lives more difficult.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, the thing is, with Safeway, for example, that's the example you used, generally they don't make anything. They just put their name on something else. So if Theraflu went out of business, chances are after a while, Safeway's not going to have anything because that's probably what they used in the first place.
Exactly. In fact, the closest knockoff I found came from Walmart, and guess, or not Walmart, but Walgreens. And guess what it was called?
What?
Wal-Flu. I'm going to Walgreens, get some Wal-Flu. I'll be back in an hour.
I would figure that you've already got the flu. You don't need to go there to get more.
Yes.
So.
But I do think that people need to pick up their telephone and quit touching around and dial 646-721-9887. Give us a call. It's open line Saturday. Anything you want to talk about, we'll talk about. Or if we don't want to talk about it, we won't talk about it. But in case you do want to talk about it, give us a call, 646-721-9887. And we'll talk about what you want to talk about. And don't ask me to repeat that last paragraph.
Okay. Cover Oregon.
How about Oregon? I hear that's another one of Oregon's famous failures, even though we used to be a leader in good.
Well, it's a famous failure now. They've called it quits. Or that whole website, the whole big thing, they spent, what, $1 billion, or not quite $1 billion, but they spent a lot of money, $450 million, building this website. First of all, why does it cost so much to build a website? How can it possibly cost that much to build a website? Second of all, once it does, and then they couldn't get it done. I mean, what kind of fools are we hiring?
What kind of fools are there?
Well, I'll
give you an example. Okay, we have Cover Oregon. Every state has their own, Cover Washington, Cover California. Why does everybody have to make their own damn software? In fact, on that matter, Oregon has their own healthcare system.
Well, first of all, not every state has a cover, whatever you want to call it. Oregon was one of the ones that decided to do their own. The other people have used the state, the federal program.
Did you hear that they actually renamed Oregon's?
No.
Yeah, it went from Cover Oregon to Cover Your Ass.
Well, we got a lot of that going on. But it's just really, really upsetting that we spend so much time and so much money on this thing that and then just let it go. I mean, we paid $134 million just to get the thing going, and we paid that to Oracle Group, Oracle Corporation.
Right.
And the thing is, then we don't get that money back, $134 million. Yeah. We just spend it, and it's just dead. And they didn't get anything done.
Okay,
it's just very upsetting to me that we would go along with that and not demand our money back.
Okay, I'm going to play ignorant here, which isn't hard to do, because I've never looked into the site. Same thing with the Federal Exchange. But I'm assuming that basically all you do, you give them your information, and they match you to some policy and connect you with whoever is offering that policy, and then you have insurance, and they set up billing, and everybody's happy, right?
You got me. I don't know anything about the website itself and what it's doing. All I'm upset about is the fact that nobody can build one. I mean, it can't be that difficult to build. I mean, there's nothing about, even if you have a million different options to go to, you know, which I don't think we do, but it's just really ridiculous that we can't build a website that works. And even the national website is not working perfectly, I don't believe, and I don't have too much information on that. But the software is not that hard to figure out, and I don't know. It's just a total – I'm flabbergasted that we don't have anybody who has enough smarts to be able to build this thing. And if we don't have, then why are we trying to use it? You know, and now we're not, of course. We have said, you know, hell with it, to put it bluntly. And we've gone ahead and said, okay, you got to go to the federal site and do it from them. And not, there is no Oregon site to do it with. So any of that, I suppose there should have been some benefits to going to the Oregon site in the first place. I don't know what it was. But whatever it is, it's gone.
Are you getting a loud clicking on your end?
A little bit. Why?
Because I'm trying to figure out where it's coming from. It sounds like arcing.
Well, I'm not getting anything like that. It sounded like you were clicking on a keyboard or something.
No, I'm not doing anything. Well, something else is failing on me.
No, I don't know of anything that's going bad. Well, I'm not getting anything like that. Huh? I got that.
Hang on.
That was interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I never heard that before. What's going on here?
Well, you've got a pot up on your mixer or something that's giving you some noise. See, I'm not even using the mixer today. I'm going right straight into the computer, and I don't have any problem with that. Okay, so much for.
Well, my headset is really loud, so it's driving me nuts, which isn't a very long drive, by the way.
Right.
So while you're talking, I'm going to see if I can mute and see if I can figure out where it's coming from.
Well, we're going to change the subject a little bit because it's, you know, I hear all the time we're talking about something and a different area, you can't use a lake or something because there's something in there that's being protected. Well, now we've got an entire area that's being protected. Butterflies are being protected in Benton County. So we're not going to be able to, you know, it figures that you can't use Benton County anymore. So any of the cities and everything and all the people in Benton County have to move because there's an endangered butterfly species there that makes Benton County a butterfly haven, I guess, basically. And, you know, the thing is, we do this all the time, and I'm really quite upset because we do this. There's no reason that these butterflies or whatever it is that we're protecting, supposedly, can't live in harmony with us. I mean, just because we live there, they say that we can't live there because they want to live there. And I that gets a little upsetting to me. We're constantly giving away different lands and places and we can't do certain things because of the bugs that are supposedly we're trying to protect. And I get a little tired of protecting bugs myself, and we should be able to protect ourselves as well. And so, you know, in order to live in cooperation with the bugs, I don't mind living with the bugs. Well, I do mind living with some of them. But now, actually, and it's really kind of sad because we have actually gotten rid of a lot of different kind of creepy crawly bugs that land on you and sting you and things like that. We have gotten rid of those. And I imagine, again, that when we get rid of those, we get rid of somebody's food on the food chain, and then we also get rid of something else that we didn't intend to get rid of. So I understand that. What on earth are you doing?
Oh, just thrashing the equipment around, see if I can figure out what's arcing in my eardrums.
So anyway, I don't know. I the whole thing that I was getting into is the fact that I get upset about the fact that we get too carried away anytime something comes along and it's a little different and we want to save it, that we just go ahead and make the whole area off limits. And I'm not ready for that. We should be able to live there too, just because the butterflies are in a certain area. And there's clusters and clusters of them. And butterflies are neat and butterflies are nice. Of course, butterflies don't stay butterflies very long, do they? And the thing is, just because they're neat and nice and everything else, I'm not ready to give up whole areas like Benton County.
Of course, then again, you know, like the lonely grasshopper is kind of neat until they get together in a large group. Then they become something else.
Yeah, they do that very much so. And I never even thought of anything like that until I read a Lord Ingalls Wilder book about the grasshoppers and big groups of grasshoppers and taking over the world. But they don't do that very often, so I can live with it.
Yes, grasshoppers taking over the world.
Anyway, I don't know. It's just that we do so often
right.
Give up.
What do you want to do today? Oh, I don't know, Pinky. Let's take over the world.
Another problem we have that we need to talk about is the news and how to save the news. Because,
yes.
You know, with the computers available and with being able to get the news and read it on the computer and all that sort of thing, it certainly sounds convenient and it's kind of nice to do. But the thing is, because we're reading our newspaper, our news on the news, on the computer, and the people who are delivering the news to us from the computer are not paying for it. They're not paying, going out, and they're not collecting the news. They're not gathering the news. They're just going to newspapers who do that and stealing it. And there's an awful lot of that going on, and consequently, the newspapers are hurting. They're going out of business. They're disappearing here and there and everywhere, and we're losing newspapers. And when we lose the newspapers, then we lose all the news. So what either the people like Google or whatever company is delivering us the news for free is going to have to start charging us for it. And that's one of the things that I guess I'm a little upset about, because I don't like to pay for all that stuff, and I'm cheap. There's no doubt about that. So I try not to do it. But we need to come up with somebody who will bundle together a whole area of different news so I can go to just one place and pay for one space and get all my news and everything I want there. And nobody has done that on the Internet as of this point. Now I have to pay different prices of different things and go to different places and get it, except that I'm still pretty much able to get it for free because I cheat and go to other places and get it together. But the thing is, the newspapers themselves are losing so much money that they're going to be going out of business. And this whole thing is killing the news business. And Google is trying to bring it back to life. They're out there trying to help out the journalists and people who do things like that. Of course, when Google does that, and of course, Google, I think, could afford to do it no matter what they want to. They got so much money, they don't know what to do with it. But if Google's going to go out there and try to gather the news themselves, then they're going to have to basically charge us. I mean, there's going to have to be a point where you and I have to pay for it. So,
That's kind of the market-based system. It used to be like you have 60 Minutes and other investigative news sources, you know, that's more than just headlines or somebody repeating what everybody else is saying. And now it's just that it's all sound bites and hearts construed.
Well, 60 Minutes, you had to pay for 60 Minutes, too, because you had to sit through the commercials that were there.
Well,
and that's what
commercials, pays. If it's worth sitting through, you know, it's – but what I'm saying is, what are you getting anymore? I mean, this is kind of an idea of the way – this is why I don't watch local news anymore. Sorry, KVAL, KZI. Is I get so tired of Measure 17 requires more people to spend more money on taxes.
And then they stop.
Then they stop. What the hell is Measure 17? What it's about? Well, how does it affect me? What is it? But no, they expect everybody just to, oh, yes, Measure 17. That's right.
Yeah, I was watching something just the other night, and I was sitting there, and I watched for like 7 minutes or something like that for the story, and during the entire 7 minutes that I was watching, they always referred to as it or its or they never told me what they were talking about. They just
what is it? You know,
yeah.
And you sit there and you're going, like you said, your 7 minute example. You're sitting there going, you know, I could have done a lot of things in 7 minutes.
Well, it was something that I was interested in knowing.
Yeah,
I stayed there glued to the screen, waiting for them to tell me what they were talking.
Yeah.
Because I was interested in finding out, but I never found out. I missed the first 2 minutes of the show or something like that, or that particular. See, I'm one of these people that uses the remote control, and I click around and go here and go there. So I don't necessarily get in on the first part of everything. But then I will stay there if I find something that I'm interested in and want to find out about it.
I don't know how to use it.
The thing is, I did think about actually giving them a call, giving that radio television station a call. The thing is, I know it wasn't going to make any difference, because this is a network program.
Here's what you should do next time. Call them up and go, "Hi, my name is Cliff, and I'm with KRBN, Internet News Talk Radio, and we have a lot of callers calling in wanting to know what it is."
Right.
And they'll go, "What's it?" "I don't know. That's why we're calling you. What is it?"
Well, I didn't do it, but I really had – I really thought hard about it, figured it wouldn't make any difference because, like I say, this was a network program. It wasn't the station's program. The guy at the station – is sitting there pushing buttons. He doesn't know what the hell's going on.
He doesn't know what it is either.
Right.
So they spent 7 minutes not knowing what it is, but they killed 7 minutes talking about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, but I know this was my fault because I got into it late. I'm sure at the beginning of the program, they told me what it was, but I didn't get to hear it, and they never repeated it again. My point is, when you're talking about something like that, you should refer to the actual whatever it is, the name of something or the name of the person or the name of the situation, whatever, more than once and do it a couple of times into the program so that people who got there late, because people do that. People don't sit there all the time listening to the same thing all the time. People do have this clicker in their hand, and they do click through things. And that was one of the things that I was very conscientious about when I was in there doing the news and doing the information and whatever it was that I made sure that during the time that I was talking about it, I would mention what I was talking about several times.
That's why a really good interviewer will, during the middle of the interview, will actually pause for a moment and go, "We are speaking with so-and-so that belongs to so-and-so. And speaking of it, we've just been talking 4 minutes about it, and which is really nothing because nothing is it."
That's right. And it wasn't, that was the problem. Actually, why I was speaking about it, because it was the problem.
Yeah.
It being the thing that I don't know. So I've explained what it was several times during the time that I was speaking.
About it. Yes.
And still, I never did find out what it was.
That's true.
So... And you can waste a lot of time that way, because if I had known that they weren't going to tell me what they were talking about for the entire time I was going to sit there 7 minutes, then I watched the clock so I know it was 7 minutes, because I was very disturbed that I spent 7 minutes of my life trying to get the information about something and they never would give it to me.
That's right. You were so interested about it that you went to hear about it, and that's all they talked about was it, but you didn't know what it was to be excited about.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
I didn't even know enough about it to know where to go to find out about it, because I didn't know what it was. So anyway,
This is Blog Talk Radio KRBN, and it is 646-721-9887. If you'd like to give it a call and call us.
And that's an easy it to find out what we're talking about.
Yes.
And perhaps it's an even easier it to change the subject if you want to, because we're more than happy to change the subject and talk about something else.
Yes.
You know, I found it really ridiculous.
You found it ridiculous?
gamers are so emphatic about what they do and so adamant about what they do. A bunch of gamers dug up a dump. It was actually a dump originally.
Uh-huh.
They were going after the ET game cartridges that were made a few years ago. As a matter of fact, 31 years ago, they were made by Atari, and then they were put out on the market, and they sold a bunch of these game cartridges, but they were put out on the market after a television show. Where they talked about these things, and they really quickly hurried and put these things together and built them, and they were really pretty bad. They were badly made. They were badly the graphics were bad and everything else. But because of the fact of the television show, promoting this thing so much, they sold an awful lot of them. The X-Men 2, I guess it was, was doing something with it. Anyway, they sold a whole bunch of these things, and then they stopped because they were such a bad thing, but a bunch of people had them, but they had a whole bunch of them left over. I mean, they had like hundreds of thousands, because when they build these things, they build a bunch of them all at once. And so they decided, well, we don't want to sell them, and we don't want to get them out there. We don't want anybody to have them, so they buried them. And they buried them in a dump, a local landfill. And people have been looking for these things all this time. It's been years, 31 years, I guess, that people have been looking for these things, and they just now found them. And now why, I don't know, but a bunch of people that wanted to find these games, and they just found a whole heck of them down there, and they decided they're going to dig them up, and I don't know what they're going to do with them. They haven't didn't say that in this article what they wanted to do with them, but they've got them now, and not all of them are any good. Some of them are fine, because when you dump them in there, you put a whole bunch of them together, and some of them are whole bunches of them, you know, one on top of another will protect a couple of them anyway. So anyway, they've gathered up all these things and have dug them up, and I don't know what they're going to do with them, but there's a whole, I just can't believe gamers, I mean, why would they, a game that was, I mean, it wasn't like there wasn't any of them around, because there are people who bought them, basically threw them away. They didn't like them. And the company threw away thousands and thousands of them. And these people are out there looking in dumps to find them. And they found a whole bunch of them. They found a bunch of the cartridges that were in perfectly good shape. In fact, a lot of them were in cellophane packaging and everything. And they...
What are you doing? Video game.
Oh. Okay. Anyway, the thing is, they've bought these things, they got these things, and they dug them up, and they put them. I don't know what they're going to do with them. I don't know if they could sell them. Of course, they might be able to, but I don't know if they could or not. But it was Steven Spielberg's 1982 hit movie. Which was the thing that started this whole thing. They just rushed these games to the market when this movie came out, and they didn't have to take the time to build a good thing, a good product. They sold more than a million of them, I guess, at the time of this thing, because of the E.T. tie-in. I don't know what the name of the game is or anything else, but it's just ridiculous that these people would go out there and dig them up, and they found them, and well. So gamers, it's amazing the kind of things that they'll go through to get their game for some reason or other. They put up with a lot of things. They buy a lot of things. It's just ridiculous. I've never had that wish to play games that much. Any games, I don't bother with them. Anyway, that's my rant and rave about games.
Oh, yeah, it's nostalgia.
Yeah, really.
In fact, some of the better games were actually some of the 8-bit games, whatever, that didn't have that good of graphics, like Asteroids and stuff like that. I remember spending hours and hours playing. It didn't need all these fancy... whatever, it's just a little tiny triangle that went around on the screen blowing up these cloud-like-looking things.
I remember we had, whatever it was called, I used to manage a tavern way back when, in the olden days. And in the tavern we had one of these tables that was a video game. And all it was just a pong. It was, you have a ball that goes back and forth from one side to the other, and you hit the thing. It was like playing ping pong, only it was video. And people would spend hours and hours and spend, and they had to put in a quarter to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, we put the game in there. We found the game. In fact, we found the game in a friend of ours' back room. They had taken, I don't know where they'd gotten it from, but it had been sitting there doing nothing for a long time. But it was fine. It was a good game, and it worked and everything. And they gave it to us. And so we took it up and put it in the tavern and let it sit there. And we thought, well, you know, maybe somebody will play it, or maybe somebody won't just, you know, it's kind of old game, and they'll play it out of recognition. And people, it was one of the most played things we had. It was amazing. I mean, we had a couple of pinball machines, and they didn't get played much at all. But this stupid little electronic game that you didn't have to do anything. Didn't have to have any technical ability, I don't think, to make this thing go back and forth. But people would sit there and play it and play it and play it. I mean, it was just amazing to me that they spent so much time on it. I think it was even before that. I don't remember the sound effects on it.
Yes, hours of fun.
Well, that's the thing. I never did play. I used hours of fun on it. I just didn't set the heck with it. I've never bothered with games. Any games. The only thing I sometimes play is on the computer. I play card games a couple of times, some once in a while, and then not very often. But what the heck?
Anyway, speaking of games, 646-721-9887. If you'd like to call us. If you don't want to call us, because we'd like you to call us, even if you don't want to call us, because we want you to call us right now. That's why I gave you the numbers to call us. Got it?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, call us anyways. 646-721-9887. And tell us what you think, because do you like games? What's your favorite game?
I found it interesting that on the Internet, I was looking up things that we might want to talk about, and one of the things that I wanted to talk about was USB, and mostly because I found differing opinions right behind each other on the Internet in the articles that were there, and I can't keep my stupid computer to keep things up here. I'm trying to... Okay, anyway... So we're talking about the USB drives, and right in one place it said USB drives we're at the end of USB. USB is going to be no more. It's old and nobody wants it anymore. And yet, two articles down on the same page, it says flash drives, USB drives are getting better and better, and they're going to be here to stay. And all you know, they weren't right next to each other, but they were close enough that it caught my attention that they were doing that. And the bigger, better one, the USB flash drives are getting bigger and better. In fact, the upcoming generation is 10 times faster than the previous one. And as for capacity, the sky's the limit. Now, you say you had a soft flash drive that was, what, a gigabyte in size?
Terabyte.
A terabyte in size. That's a pretty big thing. And the thing is... It's available there. I don't know if there's any limit, because they're so small anyway. You can get a flash drive that's 256 gigabytes, and it's not much bigger than your thumb, and fits in there. I mean, it's really a thumb drive. It's really small, and really still they can now, and I think even the terabyte ones are really not much bigger than that. So it's an interesting thing. The thing that bothers me about a USB drive is that you can erase it. I mean, I would want something like a disk that you can put something on there, and then it's saved. You can't erase it. You can't destroy it. You can destroy it, but at least not that easily. And the thing is, though, the disk drives, what, the biggest you can get a disk drive is like 7.4 gigabytes or something like that. And it's not nearly big enough to do anything with. And so, and I don't know, I don't understand quite why they can't put more than that on a disk drive.
Well, space limitation, but things are improving. Just like, for example...
Well, if you can put that much on a little tiny drive, thumb drive, why can't you put that on a disk drive?
No, again, it's a way to address physically versus how much you can cram in there. But what's kind of cool is that, also speaking of the larger storage devices, like I mentioned earlier, you know, the 1 terabyte USB drive, which Apple's come out with a new thing called Thunderbolt, which uses the USB 3.0 connection, which offers speeds up to 10 gigabits per second, which is pretty fast. As memory gets cheaper and cheaper, but is backwards compatible, which is good that they're staying with the rules. But as Cliff is saying is that, yeah, as technology and IC chips are getting smaller and smaller, you can cram more stuff in there, especially as they're working on nanobytes. As far as actually a physical disk, well, the current technology now using lasers, you can only get them so small with that type of thing and still maintain accuracy.
Well, you'd think that they'd be able to change the system and change how they put things on there and get more on there. I mean, you know, granted, this it would be a major change perhaps, and it might not be backwards compatible, but you can have both of them there, I mean, side by side for a while until they get rid of the small ones. I mean, it's just amazing to me. Well, of course, why would we want to use a disk drive if we can put a little plug in there and do it all without having that big? I mean, a disk drive physically in your computer takes like what? Computer's about 5 inches wide and about 2 inches tall, and it takes that whole space there. Where the thumb drive that you stick in there, it isn't an inch in it isn't an inch in all directions. It's just tiny. Even the big ones are tiny. That doesn't make any sense. But I don't know. It's just. I don't like the idea that it can be rewritten and can be written over. Maybe they could put something in there to fix them so they can't be written over and make them cheaper or something. I mean, the prices of them are coming down. I have everything from a one megabyte drive, this thumb drive that I have here, which was, of course, that was purchased years and years and years ago, and that was a big thing at the time, but now it's nothing. But I have everything from the 1 megabyte drive all the way up to, I've got the biggest one I have is about 500 gigabytes. And the 500 gigabyte one is actually smaller than the 1 meg. So it's amazing that the things that they do with them, they're tiny. And I don't know. It's convenient that they... You can stick them in there and do things with them and use them, and they're not hard to use or anything like that. They're very compatible because if you stick it in there, I mean, the computer instantly recognizes it, which is also actually kind of convenient and decisive for the computer industry because they do have a tendency to instantly recognize whatever you want to do. It's amazing. So, anyway, and then the one other story right next to it says that we're seeing the end of the flash drive. It's changing to a new way to store memory or information. They're talking about a new system now. Everybody wants to do everything online. It's always faster and better if you can do it online. Well, I don't want to do everything online. I want to do things on my computer without it being online so that not everybody in the world has it.
Exactly.
You know, there are times that I don't want everybody in the world to know what I'm doing. Not that I'm really doing anything of any serious consequence at all, to be honest with you. But it's just there are times when I would just as soon not have my computer online and doing something. And so consequently, I would like to be able to stick my disk in there and let it do its thing. But they're saying that the big thing now, of course, is to do everything online. And, of course, this costs you money. And I know. So that's obviously why they're pushing for this business to to do it online, because, you know, it may not be much, but it's going to cost you a few cents for per gigabyte or something like that for the information that you put in there. And I don't believe that online it can be retrieved as fast as it can off of a disk that's just sitting in your computer. It's going to take more time, and it's going to cost you more money. And it's just, the thing is, it is convenient because you don't have to have something in your computer to do it. You can just click on it and flash memory and storage, and there it is. Presto, change-o. But it's just a problem that I have with this whole system. But everything is going to the online way of doing things and cost you. Yeah, granted, I understand that it's not much, but when you're poor, like me, not much is still too much.
Well, and speaking of poor, here's the headlines. Getting to Portland, Oregon, I want to talk about taxing, coming up with a bunch of dumb taxes and stuff. Like, they recently came up with what's called the arts tax, which is, I think, $15 per person per year, I believe, or something similar to that, just like the iTax at Multnomah County has. Well, here is headlines. This is from Willamette Week. That Commissioner Dan Saltzman made comments to Willamette Week regarding whether Portland Bureau of Transportation needs a new street maintenance fee. They reported that a couple of commissioners are opposed to bypassing voters to create a $12 a month street fee on households and even higher taxes on businesses. They're saying that I'm not absolutely convinced we need a street maintenance fee, Saltzman says, but the Transportation Bureau seems to be falling all over themselves to subsidize a bike share program. If we have dollars to subsidize bike share, then why don't we have dollars to put sidewalks and fix up our roads, is one of the arguments against it. So here's the whole thing about, you know, because we're getting better mileage on our cars and why Oregon is thinking about charging a per mile fee, now they're going to charge you a extra $140 a year tax just to use the streets when money's already gone into the streets and they're not maintaining it as it is, as I'm talking about, as I have to take my car in because I found another pothole, probably the same one, I think. So what do you think about that?
Well, I agree we should be spending more money on maintaining our roads and to repair them and fix them up, and we aren't spending enough money. And we are also always trying to come up with some other way to spend our money. We never think of a way to try to think of a way of saving it and putting it aside for a rainy day, although they do have a rainy day fund. It isn't large enough to do much of anything if we really have a rainy day. So, but we spend too much time trying to think of ways to spend the money we have. If people want a thing that they want to use the roads different, or if they want to do things like that, they'll pay for them. People will be more than happy to pay for, like the bridges, if we're building new bridges and we're charging a fee to go across the bridges. And we've been doing that in California for years. They've always charged a fee to go across the bridges, and nobody seems to get too upset about it. Of course, I get a little upset when that fee gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
It's only supposed to help until the thing gets paid off. But the thing is that, you know, it's called being nickel and taxed to death, nickel and dime to death. And, you know, Portland, which is one of the largest cities in Oregon here, and for some reason one of the most thriving, but, you know, they're always looking for some way to get more money out of you. Here's the thing, like Cliff just says, when you're poor, you know, an extra $120 a year can be a lot of money. $12 a month can be a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, some people, that's actually half a week's worth of food.
Yep, that's true. And by the way, you say it's only supposed to be until it's built or until it's paid for. That's not actually the case, because some of these big bridges, like the Bay Bridge in San Francisco, they never stop painting it. They never stop repairing it. It's never paid for. So that's a different thing. You know, you don't pay for it until it's done, because it's never really done. And now, of course, they built a new Bay Bridge right beside the other Bay Bridge. And they did that when we had the big earthquake. One little section of the Bay Bridge fell down. So now they decided they have to build a whole new bridge that was, $7 billion or something like that.
Here's a good example. The I-5 bridge over the Willamette River. They built a temporary bridge, which was used for several years because they found cracks or whatever, you know, when they went through and did the nationwide survey. Okay, great. You know, nice bridge they put up. Looked great. They recently tore that down and put in the permanent bridge. Well, since they put so much trouble in building this temporary bridge, why didn't they just make the temporary bridge constructed so it could be a permanent bridge and last for years instead of building this fully-fledged, two-lane, temporary bridge to tear it down to build another permanent bridge right next to it? I mean, go through the whole effort of building a bridge, you know, and making it strong enough so traffic can go over. Why not take that little extra effort and make it the permanent bridge instead?
You're trying to convince the convinced. I agree with you. The thing is, the point is, if you don't have a bridge there at all, and you're going to be building a bridge there, just make it a good one. Make something. Of course, the thing is, how long ago did they build that I-5 bridge?
They actually completed, I think, last year.
Well, not the new one, whatever, if there's a new one. I mean the old bridge.
It was a couple years, because the temporary one was up for several years. I know that.
Well, I guess we're talking about different things then, because the bridge that I ever go across of that was... Oh, wait a minute. What did you say this was? The I-5 bridge, huh?
I-5 bridge, as soon as you leave before you get to LCC.
Okay, I don't know about that.
The river.
I think it's a waste of time, no matter when they built it.
Yeah.
It's totally a waste of time. I was talking about the bridge across the river, and that's been there for years and years and years and years. I mean, it's been there since the 50s, and it's still sitting there. And if they can build that well enough to last that long, why can't they build these others that well?
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you're going to go through the whole problem to totally construct a bridge that can handle the traffic, you know, including rails and everything else on it, and that's only going to be a temporary bridge to be torn down, to have another one built right beside it, that's supposed to be the permanent bridge, except this time they're adding some more artwork to it. You know, why couldn't you have just built that temporary bridge since you're going to go ahead and do the construction anyways and build it good enough to be the permanent bridge?
Well, there's no reason to have a temporary bridge. We've waited this long for the bridge. We can wait a couple of years longer for it.
The permanent one is now constructed and up and running, and then they tore down the temporary bridge.
Right.
But like I said, if you're going to do everything to bring, you know, we went through the time where they took I-5 and they narrowed the lanes, you know, moved it over to the other side, narrowed the lanes, handled the traffic while they built the temporary bridge, and then opened up the temporary bridge for a couple of years, and then they decided to kind of do the same thing again, close down some lanes, narrow the lanes down, and build a permanent bridge, and then the temporary bridge goes bye-bye. Why waste all that time and money and effort and just build the temporary bridge as a permanent bridge, and you're done with it?
Yep. I agree. But I don't know why. The only thing I can think of when we're talking about a local area is that they've got to continue doing something in order to keep the job. They've got to continue making a job for as long as they can, because it's money out of their pockets if they don't do it.
Yeah.
So they've got to make sure that they make a job that lasts forever. I mean, it's got to last forever because there are so many people that need that job. And, of course, other than the fact that it is somewhat hard on us that live there.
Well, it gets back to, like, why add an extra $12 a month fee when all it comes down to just manage your money right, have some planning. Now, here's something else that ODOT's doing, Oregon Department of Transportation. This is, intersection of, I'm trying to figure out what town this is. It's a town hall meeting. It's like getting back and talking about it. Forest Grove Town Hall meeting, where they're saying that Wednesday night's meeting was because Kellen Della was killed with her friend, Elian Olson, in the April 7th crash at an intersection, Oregon 47, and Burbot Road. And so they're saying that their solution to that intersection is put up a roundabout. Well, we got a roundabout down here in Eugene Springfield that you got four-lane roads. In other words, you know, four lanes of traffic going into it from each direction, four different sides, going into a two-lane roundabout. And they had a camera up there when they first put this thing in to record how well it works. They have not released the data, but anybody that's experienced that thing, which used to be just a traffic light, a lot of people like myself try to avoid it because it is a nightmare to try and navigate through that thing and not get hit.
And I don't understand what's the big thing against traffic lights. Why it's doing, traffic lights, I think, do a great job.
Well,
and
yeah.
they put the traffic through there and quite quickly, and everybody understands them. And why do they have to change that?
Well, and on top of that, the idea is that it's more fuel efficient if you don't have to stop the car. That's great. If you have a roundabout like they have overseas, which are huge, they work. But over here, you take one of these little intersections and try to do it. You still got to stop. And then they figured out, hey, what about pedestrians? How are they going to get across here? So now they put the little flashing yellow light crosswalk thingies up, and you still got to stop. So the whole point about, you know, having, you know, roundabouts are great and efficient and safe and whatever is bull.
Mm-hmm.
And so at least these guys here are there's another one, this Green Hill Road down here in Eugene that speed limit's like 45 miles an hour, and you, next thing you know, you got this little sign that comes up, says roundabout in the middle of the road. It's like, what the hell? You know, all of a sudden you're tilly-bopping along, and now there's something, there's an intersection in the middle of the road that you have to slow down and drive around.
And I don't understand why, because everything else, we sit back and we test it to the nth degree, and this we haven't, if we have, we haven't released the fact that we have, but it seems that if they've tested this in more than, they've got to have tested it in some place other than this, and it doesn't work. It's got to have been pointed out to them that this doesn't work. You've got, this thing is narrowed down into two lanes instead of four from all the directions. Well, then you're going to have more trouble. You're going to have more accidents. You're going to have more problems than you started out with. And just a simple little stoplight would have solved the problem.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it works overseas. Yeah, like I said, roundabouts overseas are blocks long.
If you make them like they're supposed to be made, they do work.
When I was driving trucks, this was stupid upon stupid. I can't remember what state it was I was in. We just got off the freeway and ran into a roundabout, and half a block later is another roundabout. Now try navigating those roundabouts pulling a 53-foot trailer.
Yeah, really.
And especially to get, as soon as you get straightened out, you're back maneuvering around another one. I mean, how stupid is that?
I don't know. Like I say, people, they don't, I don't know who's not communicating, but somebody's not communicating, and they're not communicating with, well, again, I think it has to do with the fact that if we put up a simple little stoplight, then the problem is done, and we don't have to keep doing it. But if we put up these stupid roundabouts, we're going to have to keep rebuilding them and building more of them and this, that, and the other. It's job security for somebody.
Well, this one in Forest Grove is $750,000 for this little roundabout. How much it costs to put a bunch of lights, I don't know, but chances are probably not that much, especially now that you got wireless communication so the lights can sync with each other. Use video cameras so you don't have to break up the concrete to put the sensor loops in them. And, you know, all you got to do is plant a couple of poles, get power to it, program it, and there you go.
Yeah. Well, I grant it, it's not quite as cheap as just hanging light, but it's still a lot cheaper than this building a roundabout. There's no doubt about it, I believe.
Yeah. And
so many places, so many intersections, you don't have to get electricity. It's got electricity there.
Well, here's a good point. Beltline Road, Delta Freeway, they spent, I think it was probably $500,000 to rework the bridge. And when they got done, there was no noticeable difference except for the fact that there's a brand new camera sitting on top of the street sign pointing at you with infrared lights around it. And according to ODOT, its sole purpose is to count the occupancy of your car. Okay.
That's the point, that we're taking so much time and effort and trying to find a place to spend money. And a lot of these things are not necessary. That isn't accomplishing anything. It may be helping someone somewhere, but, you know, maybe a different television station that would like to know what kind of people live there or whatever. I don't know. But it's not helping the people that count, us.
Exactly. Well, like I say, they just don't have to, because the government's not out to make money, and if they don't have enough money, then just like the thing about the $12 a month transportation tax that can be implemented without a vote, then, you know, they don't have to account for it, really. I mean, just like the money spent for Cover Oregon. How much did you say that was?
$134 million.
$134 million. What can that, you know, and what do we have to show for it? Not one person signed up or was able to sign up for Cover Oregon, and now over $1 million is wasted. It's gone. It's, you know, and it's our money.
Over $134 million is wasted.
$134 million. Yes.
And the thing is, we're still going. Actually, there were some people that got on there, and there were some people that signed up, but it never did. The problem is, you got on to sign up, and you started signing up, and you never actually ended. You never finished. It kept saying, okay, come back, and we'll finish it up, because it went and tried to verify the information with this and that and the other. It just never did work properly.
Right.
And I don't know that the federal government's website is working properly either. I think we're still going to hell on that, too. And the thing is, it's all going to go on until Mr. Obama is no longer president, and then we're going to close it all down and start over again, I think. And so I know he's trying to make very hard to make it work well enough that we can't turn it off, and we don't want to turn it off because it would waste time. But it's just nothing is working. It's just not accomplishing anything at any time. And so I don't see as to how we should be spending money. And you said something at the beginning of this when you started saying that the government is not supposed to make money. The government, that's all it does is try to make money. And you know, I understand part of it is because, let's face it, the government is us. And we're the ones who are working for the government, and we want more money. We want our job to be secure, so consequently we're going to make sure that things don't work, and we need to have time and money to continue making them work. So I don't know. It's a hard thing to not explain. It's not hard to explain. It's hard to accept.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing, whole country's going to hell in a handbasket. What can I say? And speaking of hell in a handbasket, we have 21 minutes remaining in the program, 646-721-9887. And while we're bitching and moaning, which is my right to do because it's our show, I haven't done this in a while, but bitch about Blog Talk Radio itself and how the fact that they made more changes again. Every time they make changes, our audience goes down, partly because you can't find us. And so if you happen to find us, you know, again, I'd be interested to know how you find us. You know, send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com, and tell us what you think about Blog Talk Radio's change. It comes to a point, in a way, that pick something and stay with it is the way I look at it. I mean, don't keep changing the layout. And now, granted, Alan Levy, who created Blog Talk Radio, has got some big money coming in. They've already made their millions, so to speak, and they're trying to develop these big networks, which cost a huge amount of money, more than we can afford to buy on our program. But where they actually have a bunch of smaller shows within the bigger shows, and they get priority notifications, which, you know, okay, fine, you got the money with that. But, you know, it's little people like us is what built Blog Talk Radio. And Cliff and I have looked into other avenues, but I just want to know what you think about it. And
well, one of the things I want to make clear is that you don't have to go to Blog Talk in order to find us. Just put KRBN Radio in the front, in the address on your thing, and you'll get the first thing. It says listen to KRBN Live Internet Radio. That's the first thing on the thing. The next one is somebody else, And the next one is us again, KRBN Radio.
Yep.
Then there's somebody else, then it's us again. And you can find us by just putting in KRBN Radio. You don't have to put in talk radio, anything. Just put in KRBN Radio. And it comes up more often, I think, with either way. But it's not hard to find us, and then you can click on us. And that's the thing about the Internet, is you can click on something, and presto, it takes you there. And, whoa, what is this?
What?
Anyway, I clicked on it, and it gave me something else.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, there's a big, and I don't know where to click to get rid of it. Listen to ta-da. Oh, well, anyway, but that all you have to do is just click on it, and it's easy to find us, and it's easy to get to us. So, you know, let's do it that way. The easiest way is just KRBN Radio. Just put in any search engine, and you'll find us. Doesn't make any difference where. You'll find us, and that's all there is to it. So, you know, it's easy to see, easy to find, and easy to click on, and that's what the whole point of the Internet is concerned. Search engines. That's the whole point of search engines, is they make it easy. You don't have to go to Blog Talk Radio search engine or Blog Talk Radio or anything else. Just put in KRBN Radio, period, on any search engine, and it'll find it.
You know, the thing is that that's great, but you know, for new people to find us, you know, it's getting a little bit harder to find.
No. How much harder is it?
Well, if you've never heard of KRBN, you don't know to look for KRBN.
If you've never heard of KRBN, how are you going to know how to look on anywhere else?
That's what I'm saying as far as what it used to be, the way Blog Talk Radio used to be, on their very first page, they showed live shows, and also they showed, you know, what live shows are chatting now. And that's the way a lot of people found us, is by going there. Now that window's buried two or three windows down, you have to go hunting for it.
Well, they don't want to make it too easy.
No, they don't. And unfortunately, it affects our traffic because, you know, yes, we do have a couple hundred listeners per week that listen to us on the archives, and that varies depending on the month, et cetera. But for new people to come in, except for a word of mouth, you know, they can't find us thanks to Blog Talk Radio. And so then that's because they're not finding us, and we're not getting phone calls, and people just have to listen for us to an hour and a half.
That's possible.
Yes.
I don't know. It's really interesting that obviously it must be benefiting someone else other than us, whatever it is that Blog Talk is doing, because if it isn't benefiting their customers, why would they bother to do it?
Well, that's the thing, that, you know, Blog Talk Radio itself is making buku bucks. I mean, we're paying to offer this service to our listeners. You know, we're not doing this. This is not a free service for us.
Yeah, well, you made mention of the fact that that we had tried to find somewhere else. I don't understand. Here's a service that Blog Talk Radio was offering, and it's a very, very successful service and very profitable service, and yet no one else is doing it.
Well, those are the people that are trying. At the moment, Blog Talk seems to have the upper
hand. I have looked and looked and looked for people who are trying. No one has the same thing Blog Talk has. There are other people that have different systems, but nobody has the ability to take and answer phone calls that Blog Talk has. No one.
Well, they do, but it's not as easy. Usually they have one number, then you have to enter the show's code and then go right into it. They don't have individual exchanges like Blog Talk Radio has.
Well, I have never found anybody that's anywhere close myself. I've looked and looked and looked for something that would be similar to it, and so that we could change. But the thing is, I've never found anybody that has the offerings that Blog Talk has, and I can't believe nobody's trying.
Well, they're out there. It's just, like I say, but it's disappointing and saddening that Blog Talk treats its clients, their customers, us, this way, And I mean, granted, there's only so much you can do, but the it's disheartening because it does affect our numbers. And unless we want to go out and spend money and do some serious advertising elsewhere, because part of our agreement with Blog Talk Radio is that we're supposed to get so many exposures. Well, I don't see it myself.
I don't know anything about that. That's you. You were the one that came up with that idea of Blog Talk and that idea of, and I have looked and looked and looked to try to find something that was anywhere close that we could go to. And other than doing it ourselves, which had cost us more, quite a bit more than what we're spending now, that would be the only way to do it.
Yeah.
Because we'd have to.
What's the number again, Cliff? I lost it.
It's 646-721-9887. And again, why don't you give us a call and change the subject? Oh, 646-721-9887. I'm coming up with your problem. I'm sitting here reading off the number, and all of a sudden this big thing pops up in the middle of my screen, and I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So there's constantly things that are popping up now in the middle of the screen.
That's one of my other bitch and moans about Blog Talk Radio. They got so advertiser heavy that we try to read something and this thing comes in your face, or they got this little sidebar that covers everything. And I had to install pop-up blockers and ad blockers to be able to read the content. And then I tried accessing Blog Talk Radio to check our show out on the Internet, and every time an ad came up, it knocked me off on my cell phone, yeah. Because they don't, to my knowledge, Blog Talk does not have a cell phone app yet. I wish they did, because I'd definitely like to promote it. I mean, you can listen to the program on your cell phone when we're live, but to listen to the archive shows, it's a little bit more difficult. We are on iTunes, so you can listen to it that way without all the garbage coming up. So we are there. We do have a Facebook page, which one of these days I am going to update. I'm still having trouble with Facebook. Even though the address is facebook.com/KRBN Radio, it still does not show up in a search. And why, I don't know. I haven't had time to really dive into it that heavily to try and figure it out.
Well, I'm sorry. I just don't really care about any of those. It's easy enough to find it. Just go to krbnradio.com on any particular search engine, and you'll find us.
Yep.
And I just ignore all the rest of that stuff, because it's just too easy to do it that way. Why do you want to complicate your life when it doesn't have to be?
Exactly. I don't want my life complicated. It's complicated enough. I work nights.
I don't work, and it's still complicated. So it's just ridiculous. So I just blog talk with krbnradio.com. And no matter any kind of a search, and we'll give it to you.
Yeah, tell your friends.
Really.
On a serious note, though, you know, we do have some stuff lined up in the future, you know, more guests and stuff going on. So, you know, it's worth, even if we're boring you right now, it's worth checking in. And, again, at the very least, you know, like I say, check out our social sites. As things go further down the road, you know, we are going to hopefully get more exciting. And it's not that we're not now, of course.
Well, we aren't, right? Not today.
Yeah, it's a slow news day. But that's never stopped us before.
Really? You know, it's been kind of interesting. I have two computers here sitting here going. And every once in a while I use the mouse, and, you know, you have the little wheel on your mouse that tells you where you're going. And I'll give this little wheel a whiz, and it sits there, and nothing happens. And then all of a sudden it goes like gangbusters. It's very upsetting. You sit here and turn the wheel once, nothing happens. You turn it again, nothing happens. And then it goes up twice real fast, and you're lost.
Yes.
So,
lost in the wheel.
Yep.
The wheel of fortune.
Yep. One of these days, maybe I'll learn how to work this thing called the computer.
Yes. By then, the fad will be over, and you would have missed it.
Yep, yep. I'm surprised. I'm surprised that it's lasted as long as it has. It really has. Of course, you know, the Internet has changed so much, so radically, in the period of time that we've been using it and we've been doing things with it, that it's just unbelievable. It has definitely changed. I can remember when I first started out on the Internet, I put my name in and I built myself a website with my name, and I put my name and I was the only thing that came up. And now there are like 40 things that come up, and believe it or not, 20 of them are my name and aren't me. I mean, there's actually, my name is Clifton Wilson. It's not that normal a name, and yet there are 20 different Clifton Wilsons online. And so it's an amazing, huge difference that has come about in just a short period of time. And if you try and measure time in internet time, it's really, really a long time. I mean, internet has just not been here that long. It's fairly cool, fairly new, and it's just doing things all fast and furious. And that's all. So I don't know. It's really an exciting thing to try to keep up with, and I guess. And I'm getting old enough, I don't want to learn new things. That's my problem. I just don't want to bother to learn new things. And I'm going to have to, because it just keeps leaving me in the lurch with, ready or not, I'm just left and behind. So, and I'm going to have to figure out what's going on so that I can continue doing anything.
Well, to kind of speaking of doing something in the last few minutes of the program, I want to touch on something about, you know, we're coming up on May, which is, I guess, some of the local primaries, and one of the U.S. Senate office is coming up in Oregon where there's some people running, and we've had one of the candidates on our program several times, Ms. Jill Ray Perkins, and there's a couple others that are running, and one that just made national news is Monica Wibbe, who is a pediatric surgeon. And it's kind of interesting because she's already raised over $1 million for her campaign. And one of her things is that, well, of course, she's promoting the fact that, you know, I'm a pediatric surgeon and my job is to save lives and I have to figure out problems. And she wants to get rid of Obamacare and replace it with something else. And I'm looking at some of the comments to one of the articles here. This is an Oregonian or OregonLive.com article. And I'm quoting, says, Monica is against the ACA, saying that she'll vote to repeal it. Strange, isn't it, for someone who took an oath to help preserve life and health for Americans, but has no trouble eliminating the benefits of health care for millions of people without a single clue as to what she replaced it with. Now, isn't it interesting, this comment this person's saying, and he got corrected by the next comment, on that, which says health insurance is not health care. The former is a product of the richest corporation on earth. The latter is actually a product of doctors like Ms. Wibbe. Is that the low information voter, so to speak, really doesn't understand the system? Like the people that were in favor of Obamacare took the sound bites and going, yes, people need insurance, but that's not what Obamacare is. It's forcing people to purchase insurance. It doesn't give them insurance.
Well, I personally have stayed away from finding out what Obamacare is and how it works and what it does, because I really personally believe that it's just not going to be here for very long. And it's way too complicated, from what I can see, to put that much time and effort into something that's going to go by the wayside.
Yeah, so
I don't know.
Like this one thing, the guy's handle is Voters for Oregon. It says, I'll make a prediction. Regardless of who wins, a grand total of nothing will change.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think he's right.
That's true. That's true. And it's just too bad. It's too sad because, Mr. Obama got that many years left to go. And I understand that he wants to have this be his signature legislation or whatever. But I just don't think it's going to last because he's so far off. And the people who put this thing together, there was too many of them. I don't know how many people were involved in deciding what this thing was going to do and what it was going to say in building this bill. But obviously they couldn't get together and make a decision because what they did is instead of deciding what they wanted to put in this thing, in this bill, they couldn't decide, so they just put everything in, it looks like. And so it got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, I look at these things. You look at these bills that are written by lawyers and such, and there's no reason that any of these bills need to be 1,000 pages, 2,000 pages. There's just, you can't possibly understand them. Nobody can. Not me, not you, not the lawyers. Nobody can understand them entirely. And consequently, all you're doing, and I understand, there's one thing that I understand that they're doing, is you can build this, make this bill, and you can put all this stuff in there, and then you can say it does anything you want it to do. And consequently, nobody can be wrong. Everybody's right. And so, but it doesn't do anything. It just absolutely doesn't do anything except create a lot of problems.
Well, the other point I wanted to make, too, is that it gets back to, again, whether Monica Wibby is a good candidate or not. Yeah, she may be a good pediatric surgeon, but is that a qualification to be a U.S. senator?
Well, I don't think so.
That's what I'm going at. Is just because she has money and, you know, and you hang around with these type of people that have money, and there are a lot of good people out there that would be a really great senator or president or do whatever, but because they're not wealthy and they don't have the resources, they never get the opportunity to even run. Or if they do...
Did she put this money in there herself?
Well, again, she's a pediatric surgeon, so she's, you know, hobnobbing around with people that are wealthy. I guess her boyfriend's pretty wealthy. And so, like I say,
the thing is, this other person that has called us and has been on the show before, she could talk to these same people, but she doesn't seem to be able to get that much money.
Well, it's because the news media and everything has already decided that she's not a serious candidate. And so, just like the Dorchester conferences for Republicans, they want invited to attend because they've already made up their mind who the serious candidates are going to be, and so, you know, you don't get the coverage.
Well, I have not had the experience of trying to get that coverage, so I don't know. But I think there's got to be a way that you can force your way into the system. I mean, there's got to be something you can do to make them listen and make them pay attention.
To make them listen, and they'll be back to next time.
Bye.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.